Hey, Northwest Ohio. Are you tired of just surviving? Are you ready for some fresh ideas? You've come to the right place. The Thrive Tribe 419 podcast features local experts in wellness and experiencing the best life has to offer in the Midwest. Let's thrive together.
Hey everyone, it's Rose. Welcome to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. Thanks for coming back. And if you're a first-time listener, welcome to the tribe. I hope you really enjoy this. Our first episode of the alternative lifestyle series is this one. You've stumbled upon the right one if this is what you were looking for. It features Renee Horn, who is an innovative, creative, brave mom from Toledo, who basically sold all of her belongings and jumped on a bus to travel and work and live on the road with her family. But before we get to the interview, I'd like to take care of a couple of housekeeping items. The first is that we now have sponsorship opportunities. These sponsorships would target a very specific audience in Northwest Ohio who are interested in holistic health, alternative health, alternative medicine, naturopathic. So if you have a small business that would cater to people like our listeners, would you please contact me at rosehollow@gmail.com. That's rosehollo@gmail.com. And I promise our rates are very affordable since we are a small but quickly growing podcast. This is the time to jump on this opportunity to help get the word out about what you're doing. Secondly, I would like to ask everyone to just take a minute of your day. You can do this right now. It's very easy if you get on your phone and pull up your iTunes account, or if you have an iPhone, just click on podcasts and click on the little magnifying glass and type in Thrive Tribe 419. When that comes up, click on our colorful flower icon and that will bring us up onto your screen, and click on reviews. On the reviews page, you can leave a review on this podcast, and I would be forever grateful if you did. Not only does that help other people find us, but it will help get us started in the ranking system on iTunes, which means that people will know that we are a legitimate podcast, that we're bringing value to the community, and that they might be able to find something helpful here. So if you have found value in this podcast and you look forward to listening to us, would you please leave a review to help share this podcast with others? Thank you so much. Toledo native Renee Horn is a sales rep turned creative writer who quit her job upon birthing her first baby, sold all of her things just months later, and moved her little family into an old school bus to travel the country. Renee, her fiancé, and son have been traveling together for over 2 years, living tiny, and finding out what it means to live your life based on your highest priorities. Renee truly is someone who is living tiny and living big. Hey, Renee, welcome to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I have been looking forward to this conversation ever since we talked the first time because I felt like we kind of hit it off. And
yeah,
we have so many things in common. And I'm just so excited to talk to you because I feel like your story is so unique, and it's also one of those things that I've kind of always dreamed about doing. Mm-hmm. Maybe running away and not looking back and just seeing where the road takes me.
Right, yeah.
That just sounds so amazing. So I would like to know if it really is as amazing as it sounds. And just all about this journey. So we're going to dive right in. First of all, can you tell us can you give us a little synopsis of like the last few years of your life? What has happened in that time frame?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to give everybody a little bit of backstory on how I got here as well. I was finishing my first year of college at University of Toledo, and I was a business student earning a business degree with a minor in international business and Spanish. And while I was in college, I spent a semester abroad in Costa Rica because I knew that I wanted to, there were very few things at that time in my life that I was sure of. And the only thing that I was sure of at that point in my life was that I wanted to be fluent in Spanish. So I went off to Costa Rica for a semester so I could immerse myself in the culture and in the language and become fluent. And for the first time in my life, I set foot on a plane at 19 years old.
Oh.
I had never flown a commercial airline before. My family.
And you were by yourself?
All by myself to leave the country and go to a different country and live with a host family and become fluent in Spanish. Uh-huh. And the first week was so hard. It was so hard. I had the anxiety, you know, of just suddenly being away from home for the first time. I really hadn't even left home much. I didn't grow up in a family that traveled, so I didn't have very much experience of leaving Northwest Ohio. And I just, you know, it took a while for me to adjust. And then I eventually just fell in love with travel. It was like I spent 4 months there traveling Costa Rica. We went to, you know, beaches and mountains and volcanoes and rainforests. And I had waterfalls, you know, just so many wonderful experiences. And I came home and I just wanted to keep traveling. It was just all I wanted to do. I always just, and so I did. I unfortunately for him, broke up with my boyfriend at the time and
I like how you put that.
I know. It was very me because I really needed to spread my wings and fly. And so that was what I did. So I would hop in my car and just go places. And so in my last year of college, I met who is my fiance right now, Grant, and he already had an old school bus that was converted into an RV. And he had just taken a trip across the country with a friend of his. They were doing like kind of ministry work where Alex, his friend that he was with, would lead worship and Grant would give little talks and they were traveling, you know, to different churches and serving, you know, communities that way. And then they came back. So he had this really cool, you know, awesome resource that I thought was cool. And I hadn't seen very much of the U.S. yet. So we started dating and had a surprise pregnancy. And at that point in time, I was still in my last year of college and I was in an internship at a local marketing company where I was doing business development, and I really didn't like it. I was doing cold calls every day. I would just sit in a cubicle and make phone calls to businesses and try to sell them things from other businesses. And I just hated my life. I hated it so much, but I knew that they were going to give me a full-time job. So I stuck it out and they took good care of their employees. So it made it a little bit easier to stick it out. And as my belly grew, I started to realize that not only did I hate my job, but I didn't want to go to a job that I hated so I could drop my kid off at daycare and continue living this life that I wasn't really a fan of anyways. So the fact that I was pregnant was enough to kick me in the butt to leave my job and figure out, okay, I need to just find a work from home option.
Uh-huh.
So I quit my job just before Gideon was born and started sort of a mad search for things locally. Even I had a few connections locally that I thought might work out and they unfortunately didn't. So I tried a few other options and finally stumbled into the freelance world and decided to dive into that. And that's what really opened the door to a new career for me. I started out doing freelance sales and found a good retainer client. And that was sort of taking care of everything that we needed between the income that Grant had at the time and the income that I had. And then we realized work from home really means work from anywhere. So why not pick up and leave? So we did. So Gideon was about 6 months old. We sold everything. You know, we had been planning, of course, for months to do this. And we sold everything that summer. It was 2015. So it's been about 2 years now. And so, yeah, we just had a huge sale, donated a lot of things, sold as much as we could and packed up into the bus and we took off out west with our son. So, and I worked part time. I wouldn't say that I worked any more than at that point. It was probably more closer to 15. So we had lots of time to do, you know, whatever recreational things. With having such low costs, it's not like we weren't paying a mortgage, we weren't paying rent, we weren't paying electric bills, we weren't paying, you know, TV, even though we didn't have that anyways, but a lot of the standard American expenses were cut by moving on the road. And if you're crafty enough, when you're traveling in an RV, you can park for free in a lot of places, especially out west. It's really easy out west. There's just so much space out there. So we just did a lot of fun adventure travel with our son. Mm-hmm. that whole year. We didn't come home for a solid year. It was just shy of a year was when we got home for the first time and stayed for a few months. And then we ended up leaving again, and we went down to Florida for about 6 months. And now we're looking at going to Montauk, New York for a few months. My fiance just got offered a job. So we're planning on going up there from September to December, and then we're going to head back down south so we can escape the winter again, which is the nicest part probably about this whole thing, is that we can escape the Northwest Ohio winters, as bitter as they are.
So I'm a little jealous of that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we don't miss that at all. We don't miss the winter by any means.
Yeah. You know, people talk about how nice it is to have seasons, but I think our seasons are just so extreme here. I would like to see maybe some gentler seasons. I don't think I'd miss our winter. I really don't.
It's just so long. It's so long, and the skies are so gray for so long. It's like the clouds roll in October, and they don't go away until April. You know, it stays so long.
It can be a little rough there when it's getting close to spring.
Absolutely. I'll talk to some of the moms that I'm friends with here, and they'll be like, you know, and it'll be around wintertime, or we'll see posts in the group, you know, about depression and anxiety. And I always remind them, like, you haven't seen the sun in a really long time. Go easy on yourself. You know, like, there's probably you're probably okay. You probably need some vitamin D. You haven't seen the sun in a really long time. It's hard.
Yeah, and that is a problem here, is the low vitamin D levels for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
well, and you are actually traveling in a converted school bus. Correct?
Yep. It's an old school bus. It's almost exactly as old as I am. It's like a 1990 or 1991 international school bus, stick shift. So yeah, and we renovated. That was one of the things that we did just before we left. It was, when Grant bought it, it was already converted. It's like a thing in Minnesota. Bought it for he's actually this is funny. He's gone through two buses. This is his second bus. And both the buses he's had, he bought in Clearwater, Minnesota. It's like a thing in Minnesota. Like, people convert school buses in Minnesota, and they use them to haul around toys, you know, like big four-wheelers and cars and whatever. Uh-huh. Or they use them for hunting. I think the guy that had this one had it all kind of decked out like a cabin almost on the inside. There was lots of ugly wood paneling and ugly fall leaf curtains. It was like disgusting. I hated it so much. So we tore it all out ourselves just before we left. Grant did a wonderful job. He really did the vast majority of the work himself. I would come out, you know, every so often and hold a board for him while he drilled it in, and that's that. We haven't done much to it since then. We just started putting up a few reclaimed wood walls on the inside to make it look a little bit prettier.
Okay.
And that's where I'm sitting right now, sitting in our old school bus, little tiny home.
Cool. Well, you know, I have watched HGTV and the DIY channel, and I've seen these shows where people convert these old school buses, and it looks like so much work. And then I guess the issue is, once it's all converted and they, you know, it looks great and it's ready for the road, then they're not always like really well insulated. So does your bus get like really hot or really cold?
It does. So, and that's part of the reason why we almost have to leave Northwest Ohio in the winter, because it's not insulated well enough for us to, well, if we were to get a wood burning stove, it would be toasty enough in here for us to make it, you know, through most of a winter or something like that. Right now, what we've been using is electric heaters. And since we don't always have power, sometimes it gets really cold in the bus and we end up just, you know, layering up. We wear lots of layers and coats and things like that. As far as heat goes, the nice thing about a school is that there's a bazillion windows, you know, all the way the length of the bus. And if they all open, which all but one, two, we have a couple that have broken latches on them. I think it's only one now. Grant fixed a whole bunch when we were in Los Angeles because it was so hot.
Oh, yeah.
It was so hot. We were like, we should finally fix these windows.
Good motivation.
Actually open them all. Yeah. So we went and found some new latches for them and replaced them while we were there. So yeah, as long as you have good airflow, and especially if you're parked in the shade, the heat really isn't bad. We've been in some pretty warm climates, and the heat isn't often too bad. If you're baking in the sun, that's one thing, because steel will heat up in the sun. You're in a small oven, you know, if you're parked in the sun. But if you can find some shade in a nice little breeze, it's usually not too bad.
And how does it go having a small child? How old is your son now?
He's almost three. He's going to be three next month.
Okay. So how does that go with, like, diapering and learning how to use the potty? And, you know, do you have a bathroom on your bus, or do you have to get off the bus to use the bathroom?
We do. We have a little RV toilet.
Okay.
Just like a standard RV toilet. We would like to upgrade to a composting toilet, but it's not in the budget yet. Hopefully sometime soon. So that's a thing. Gideon is unfortunately has no interest in potty training yet. I just can't. I even just recently put him back in cloth diapers, hoping that the little extra discomfort would give him a little bit more initiation and drive to start this potty training thing. But I've been doing it for like a month, right, and he still has zero interest. So I don't know. Everybody's telling me to wait. You know, everybody says wait until they're ready. They'll come around when they're ready. So I guess I'll just keep waiting. But as far as diapering goes, when we were out west, I was using cloth diapers for the most part. I think I only used disposables at night, and that was really, I did that even before we moved into the bus. It was just easier that way. And, you know, again, it's a money saver. It was another thing that helped us stay on the road, because we weren't spending a lot of money on diapers for him. And we would just go to the laundromat often and wash them while we were out. So I guess that's in a nutshell. Now that he's more mobile, you know, he's almost 3 years old, so he's good at entertaining himself as long as he has a good amount of space to do so. So that's the nice part about us being at home, is that he can go outside. We're parked at my grandfather's house right now, and so there's a nice big yard out here for him to run around in, and he will just stay entertained for hours. It's like, as long as you can make some of your living space outside, that's one of the things I always emphasize. Anytime I hear that somebody's going to go full-time RV, I always encourage them to make as much living space outside as you can. Like right now we have a couple chairs outside, and Grant loves his hammock, so his hammock's hanging out outside. Gideon has a little bin with some toys and a little tub of water that he plays in all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like his hangout space. He'll go out there and he'll just hang out. So when I need space so I can get work done, he goes outside. A lot of times Grant will do the same thing if I like need space and need to get some writing done or whatever. He'll just go outside and do whatever. So that's kind of the solving the too many beings in one small space. Just go outside more often. Just go out, take as much leisure activity as you can outside.
And at that age, little kids are so rambunctious and have so much energy, and you have to have room for them to run. I can't imagine being cooped up on a bus in bad weather with my little ones for more than a day. It gets hard in a big house over the winter. I can't imagine that little space.
Oh my gosh, I'll bet. Again, another reason for us to leave every winter, you know, so we can sort of make that a little bit easier. Fortunately, Gideon is pretty good. Like he loves to read. So books are a pretty good time, you know, spender for him when he is stuck inside for a little while. That's the downfall of when traveling and we're parking in free places like truck stops or rest areas. I can't just let him go outside then, you know, that would be dangerous.
Right.
So that certainly makes it harder. It means he just wants more attention from us. But you know, we make it happen. We just make it happen. It's like what you asked, you know, initially is everybody thinks that this lifestyle is so glorious, and the truth is that it is, but it comes at a cost. It's also very difficult. So, and that's, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it, right? If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. But it is actually really hard, but it's worth it. I mean, I think it's worth it.
Now, when you started doing this, traveling on your bus, did you have a plan before you left, or did you just kind of wing it?
We had a little bit of a plan. It was fortunate that Grant had done a trip out west before, so he had things that he hadn't seen that he wanted to see, and he knew, you know, why the route he wanted to take was the route he wanted to take. We wanted to avoid Indiana and Illinois because not only is it flatland, but their tolls are really expensive, and, you know, like, and there's a lot of cops, and sometimes we can get harassed because we're in a funky looking vehicle. You know, it doesn't happen very often, but it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah, I used to get harassed when I drove my 78 Super Beetle around. It was this old orange Beetle, and I got pulled over in that car more times than any other vehicle, and I never was breaking the law. I never got a ticket, but I got pulled over a lot.
It's weird. It's like you get stereotyped almost based on the vehicle that you're driving, which I don't know, I suppose makes sense, but yeah, it's frustrating.
I think they were expecting to find drugs or something, and they were always disappointed.
Believe we haven't been like asked about that. We actually haven't been asked by any. Usually when we encounter cops, it's a hey, you can't park here for the night, you know. It's usually kicking us out. More often than not, they're kicking us out, but we haven't been like asked about drugs or anything. I think when you have a kid, that helps. We, you know, they see our little kid running around, it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is just a family out, you know, traveling. So it's funny.
So what's the weirdest, wackiest place that you've parked?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or the most memorable, I guess.
That's a tough question.
Well, we can come back to that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to think about it, because we've had, there's, you know, the boring places, like, you know, truck stops are never really that much fun, but we have done some more outside of the box places, like boat launches. A lot of times if you're like, when we went up to the UP in Michigan over the 4th of July, this was like kind of fresh after we left, and we parked at a boat launch on Lake Superior, and that was really cool because we were right on the water and there was nobody else there. It just wasn't busy. We didn't see a single person come in and out. We saw one other camper finally came in and joined us for the night. And then they had fireworks over the lake.
It was kind of like
we had a little lakefront spot to ourselves. That happened a handful of times in Michigan because there's so many lakes in Michigan, of course. That was a pretty memorable spot, and that was fun. As far as funky goes, in Los Angeles, they have a law that you can park on the street as long as you move your vehicle every 72 hours. And I have a cousin in Los Angeles. And so she was like, there's this park right down the road from my house. You guys can probably park there. I see campers there all the time. So we were like, okay, cool. So we went and we found a spot and we parked there, and it was right next to this recreation center. So the nice part about that was that there was a place to get water. There was a bathroom. There was a park where Gideon could go play. And we were just right next to all of it. And we didn't get how you know whether or not the police are paying attention to how long your car has been there is they'll put chalk on your tire. So if you see a chalk line, you know, then they know if you move it, because the chalk will be gone or moved. So we were just keeping an eye out for that little chalk line, and we didn't see one for a very long time. We were there for a couple weeks before we finally got a chalk line on the tire. But what made that spot funky was that it was kind of like where all of the squatters hung out. The reason why my cousin always saw a bunch of other campers there was because that's where people who can't afford housing park their camper and stay. We saw like squatters, and most of them were nice people. We talked to a handful of them. And after we had been there for 2 or 3 weeks, we were approached by a nonprofit who thought that we were homeless, and they showed up at our door and knocked on the bus door, and they said, hey, do you guys know that you can apply for housing assistance? And they were like trying to help us, like, yeah, and we were like, you don't understand. We're from Ohio. We're not from here. We're just visiting. Oh, okay. And then, you know, we of course didn't see him again, but it was just funny to have that stereotype because of everybody else that we were with and around, all the other campers that we were around.
Right. You were there by choice.
But yeah, absolutely. We were there by choice. Yeah, absolutely. As opposed to a lot of the other people who I suppose were there because they had no other place to go. You know, we were there because we were visiting my cousin and checking out Los Angeles and going to Venice Beach and stuff like that. So yeah, it was funny. That was like an interesting experience.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of housing, at some point you mentioned that you did sort of long for having a house again, but then maybe you've since changed your mind about that. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I absolutely can. So all of the time on the road, all the time being cooped up, since we don't go to campgrounds very often, so we can save money, and we don't have that outdoor space that we can turn into living space, it can get frustrating really quickly. It can get frustrating, tiring, exhausting, difficult to work when you have a baby right next to you all the time. You know, it can be really hard.
Yeah.
So those things we thought were, oh my gosh, we need to go home and get a house. Oh my gosh, we need to come back to Toledo and get a house. You know, like initially our reactions to, I can't handle this anymore, were thinking that we needed to go back to a conventional lifestyle. We came home and I did apply for a loan to get a house, and we had a few that we thought were perfect, and then just things weren't lining up. We had, you know, one problem after the next. It just wouldn't work out. So it seemed like it wasn't the right time. So we waited a while and then suddenly realized that it's not really the house that we need. It's just the space. It's just it's land. We just need a place that is our own, that we can make our own. If we can make the outdoors our living space, then we don't necessarily need a structure to live inside of most of the year. You know, like you say, if we were to stay in Toledo for a winter, then it might be harder to live in a small space. But being at my grandpa's just was kind of eye-opening, particularly this year. We noticed it a little bit last summer too, the relaxation that we sort of, and the peace that we sort of felt just by having a place to park where we knew we wouldn't get kicked out. And then we unfortunately got kicked out. We were at grandparents' house. And the city of Toledo was starting to give us some trouble about being parked on the street. And we weren't even actually technically on the street, but once they start trying to ticket you, they're going to just keep coming after you until they find, you know, a real reason to kick you out. So we just left and we came out to my grandpa's house. He lives all the way out in the country, surrounded by cornfields. So, you know, out here, it's not a big deal. Nobody cares. Uh-huh. But yeah, so that experience just made us realize that it's not really, we don't really need a large amount of indoor living space. It's just the outdoors. So now we're kind of thinking we might just try to buy a plot of land and build, you know, a few things on it that we need, like an outdoor shower. We might do an outdoor composting toilet. And then maybe even in the future, build a tiny home when we're a little bit more ready to just plant. Because I still, honestly, I don't feel like I want to go back to the conventional full home lifestyle. I like living tiny. I like it. Like, I like it. I like not having very much to clean. You know, I like that. I like always having our family so close together. It's so nice that if Gideon is napping, no matter where I am in the bus, I know when he's awake, or I know if he needs me. You know, it's nice, just we don't have to use a baby monitor with a video camera on it because he's right there.
You know, yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. So it really does come with its benefits. But the biggest thing I think that makes it easier is having outdoor living space at the same time. So you can spread out when you need to, you know?
Yeah.
It gets hard when you don't have that option. That's what makes it hard.
So what you're thinking is you would have sort of a home base for yourself, and then you would still travel.
Exactly.
In the winter time or in the colder months.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. That's exactly what we were thinking. Yeah. Is that we would do that. Just pick up and leave in the winter.
And you're able to do that because you work primarily online.
I do. Yeah. I work entirely online.
Uh-huh. Can you talk about that a little bit? Because, I should give a little backstory too. You and I met on a sort of a mom's online, like holistic support group kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And in that group, a lot of times I see moms asking about work at home opportunities because a lot of people realize when they have a baby that they, like you said, you don't want to just go to work and drop them off at daycare. Like you really, sometimes people don't realize it until after the baby's here. Gee, I don't want to go back. And I see a lot of people getting swept up into multi-level marketing. I don't want to call it schemes. Some of them are great and they work for people, and that's great if they do. But I know a lot of times people load their own money into these things up front and don't get a return, and they just end up getting frustrated and they're not really getting what they want. You know, I think that me personally, as a work from home entrepreneur freelancer, I've been able to do, if I want to do really well and have clients, I've got clients. And I can make some really good money doing that. So I was hoping that you could share a little bit about that, since you not only are doing that, but you are literally doing it, which this seems so great to me. Like now I want to do this. It's just like go to the beach and just work at the beach, you know? So tell me how you got started doing that, and what you've been doing, and maybe some tips for other people who are interested in sharing their area of expertise working online.
Absolutely. I can totally talk about that. What finally opened my eyes to the freelance world was when I stumbled upon, at the time, the platform was called Odesk. It's now called Upwork.com. And this is a global platform for freelancers to meet people who need to hire freelancers, and of all backgrounds, for all kinds of jobs all over the world. And so I initially got my start, since my background was in business and sales, I started my profile, which is free to do. It's free to start your profile, and they take a small percentage of your earnings. And that percentage actually goes down as you continue to earn. So I think it's like when you reach $500 with a client, it drops down to like 10%. And then when you reach, I want to say $10,000 with a client, but I might be off, it drops another half, you know, another like 5% or something like that after that. Anyways, not as important. I geared my profile more toward my sales background, and but also started to do a little bit of writing because I wanted to. Writing is something that I've always loved. I loved it in high school, and I used to get great compliments from my teachers. And then again, in college, when I was writing more, you know, deep papers, I would get great feedback from my professors, and I loved it. But people don't tell you that you can make a career in writing when you're in college and high school. You know, nobody encourages you to do that. Nobody's like,
I've made a huge chunk of my career in writing, and I love it too. It's so rewarding.
It's so rewarding. It's wonderful. So I started out doing sales. I got my first good retainer client. Great company. Awesome CEO of the company. He was so wonderful and easy to work for. But again, I just didn't like what I was doing. I did it for a year while we traveled, and then when we got back home last summer, I started to dive into writing a little bit more again, and found also through Upwork. And she actually found me and invited me to work for this job. It was a ghostwriting opportunity for a book for one of her clients. And the book was about the first year of the life of a baby, the first year of an infant. And it was being written by a doctor, right? So he's too busy to write his own book. So you ghostwrite it for him, you know,
right.
Kind of how it works. So I started
Which
doing
means
that.
You don't really get credit for it. You get paid for it, but your name is not on the book.
Yeah. No one will ever know. I can say that I've ghostwritten, you know, so many books or this book about that thing, but yeah, my name won't actually go on that book when it's finally in print. So that's unfortunate, but it paid well, and it gave me great experience, awesome material to put into my portfolio, and a window into the world of publishing and just what it looks like. And she paid me so well and gave me such consistent work. I've been working with that publisher now for over a year, and she's been my primary source of income. And our family has lived off of that entirely. And I don't work any more than 25 hours a week on a really heavy week. You know, like I will barely crest over 30 on like a super heavy work week. So all of that to say, I started out doing sales because I thought I had to. I built up good feedback on my profile through Upwork. Through that, you know, I kind of went with, here's where my background is, get some good feedback, and then break into whatever it is that you actually want to do if it's something different from what your background is. And since I had the good feedback and my profile looked great, it was a lot easier for me to get higher paying writing jobs in, you know, the thing that I actually wanted to do. And that's how it all started. And now I make the majority of my money off of writing. I only do, you know, I really don't even do any sales anymore. I work for a guy that's, it's like kind of like a sales position. It's really more outreach / virtual assistant. And he's just one of my retainer clients out of New York City that I keep as some, you know, and we just have a really good working relationship. So I've been working with him for 2 years now too. So, and that's the other thing that I love about it is that when you're a freelance worker, you can do so many different things that if you're like me and you need a lot of variety in your life, you can do different things. You know, I do the work that I do varies from day to day, really, because I have a number of different clients. Right now I have 3 regular clients, and then I'll have some, you know, one-off jobs that'll come in every so often. So I get to do a lot of different things for a lot of different industries and even just different tasks in general. And I just love that. That's great for me. That's how I like thrive in the workforce is by doing different things. So it's been
that
great.
It sounds like you just have such a liberated life. And I wonder, did you feel a little bit unsure or scared when you just decided to go do this and you sold all your belongings and got on the bus and waved goodbye? Was that a little bit scary?
It was a little bit scary. I think I was more determined than anything. And then once I actually jumped off, you know, like it's like on the diving board, I was like, I'm just gonna do it. And then once I actually jumped off, I was like, holy crap, I'm in the air! You know, and I was kind of like freaking out and all the anxiety happened. It was like the coming up to it, I just was like, we're gonna make this happen, you know, real determined. And then once we actually got on the road was when I started to freak out a little bit. And it took a while. It took a while for things to calm down. And part of that was just the adjustment. It was just like, my home, this, you know, the home that we had lived in for about 2 years, my home is gone. You know, like this place that I called home for so long is now gone. That the bed that I was so comfortable, you know, and got so much comfort in is gone. We sold that too. You know, like it, like every, you know, so much of what I took comfort in was gone. So that was definitely a difficult adjustment. But didn't take too long before it, you know, it all started to become worth it. I would say the first 2 months were probably the hardest. Okay. And then we started to like adjust and get used to the lifestyle. And now, you know, like now it's like, I don't even think about it anymore. Like now I don't even want to go back. You know, like I just told you earlier, like now I can't even imagine. And the crazy part too, it still blows my mind sometimes that all of this sort of happened by accident. Like if I hadn't gotten pregnant, I might still be sitting in a cubicle making cold calls, hating my life. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's just like,
yeah.
Like how things in life just kind of happen and they open doors and floodgates open and new things happen and new opportunities happen. And it's kind of like one accident that I initially thought was ruining my life, because that's totally how I responded when I got a positive pregnancy test. I like crumbled to the floor, like, oh my gosh, I haven't even graduated college yet, you know, and thought I was the most irresponsible person in the world. And it turned out to just be the first step of the grandest adventure of our lives. And it's been really awesome.
So you literally jumped off that. I mean, the diving board was there. You were on it and you had the choice of staying where you were or jumping off. And you did. You jumped.
Yeah, and that's, absolutely.
That takes a lot of guts.
It does. It does. It was. It was hard. But we were. It's fortunate that I'm with somebody, Grant, who also desires and passion and that same kind of like need for variety in our lives all the time. Like I never really thought I would find that either, you know, like most people all just talk about how you have to settle down eventually, you settle down and have kids, you get married, you settle down, you have kids, and the white picket fences, right? Like just this like idea of what life is supposed to be like. And then two free spirits met. Two free spirits met, you know, and we were just like, nope. Nope, we don't need those white picket fences. We're going to hop on a bus and travel anyways. That's one of those things I had a, I'm getting a little bit off topic here, but this will hopefully encourage other mothers who still want to travel and think that they may not be able to. When we, I have a lovely friend in New York City. I'm so excited to go see her soon. And she also had a surprise pregnancy after mine. She just had her baby. Her baby's 7 months old, I think. He's not, she just had her baby a little while ago. And we saw her when she was pregnant last summer. And she just was like, Renee, tell me that it's not over, you know, talking about travel, because she likes to travel too. She used to live in New Zealand. You know, she like has like a big passion for travel. And I was like, heck no, girl, it's not over. You know, like, no, it's only over if you let it be. It's only over if you allow it to be over. It, is it harder to travel with a baby? Of course. Of course it's harder. But you can still do it. Either, you know, there's nothing stopping you but you. As long as you decide to keep moving, you'll keep moving. And so she was like, okay, good. You know, like she was like, okay, good. I can figure this out, you know.
Yeah, I took my 6-month-old to Hawaii, so, you know, that was traveled halfway around the world.
That's
I can't say that it was easy.
Right.
The flights, yeah. But I mean, being there, I don't regret it. It was just the most amazing trip ever. And she doesn't remember it, but we have these pictures for her, and she knows, you know, that she got to travel halfway around the world already at 6 months, you know.
Exactly.
So that's, she thinks that's pretty cool, too, to look at the pictures and say, where were we? And I traveled halfway around the world, and I was on an airplane when I was a baby. And,
Absolutely. And those are precious memories for you with your child. Like some of the most precious memories I have with Gideon when he was a baby are putting him on my back and hiking up Mount Helena in Montana.
Wow.
You know, like we did, like we did some cool stuff with our baby, and we just didn't let, we just didn't let it, you know, like you just deal with any issue. I breastfed him halfway up the mountain. You know, I just like had to stop and breastfed him, and then just
that's
kept
a
going.
Convenience.
Yeah, exactly. We did the same thing in Boise, Idaho. We hiked up Table Rock, and then halfway down, I had to stop and breastfeed him. But it was just, you know, you just make it happen if you want it to. You know, there's nothing stopping you.
Right. So. That and that's one of the definitely one of the pros of breastfeeding.
Absolutely.
It's so easy.
Don't
you can
have
just
to worry about packing a bottle.
Yeah. Nobody harasses you at the at TSA when you're getting on the plane about what's in that container.
Oh yeah, geez, that would be a huge hassle. I didn't even think about that. That would be horrible.
I've always just really appreciated that I didn't have to do that. But yeah, anyway, let your friend know that it's still possible. It's not as easy as it was once, but it. I think having a small child, maybe you feel this way too, I don't know. It's like whether you're doing something that you've done before or doing something totally new, no matter what age they are, you're kind of experiencing it again or experiencing it through their eyes, and everything is new to them. And that just makes it so thrilling.
Precious.
I just feel like, I just love to see my kids' faces and see their eyes open up wide, and they get this little grin on their face. I have a 5-year-old and a 10-month-old, and they both react like that. You know, they both just love all those new experiences. And that is what brings me so much joy, is seeing that, because I could travel anywhere and I would enjoy it, but it just, it brings even more to the experience. You have to travel a little slower and have a little more, maybe a lot more patience, but
exactly.
It just brings another level to it that you would never experience otherwise.
It does. It makes it so much more meaningful. It's meaningful enough. Yeah. You know, you learn new things yourself when you travel, but it's beautiful to watch your own child learn new things and see the world in a new way at the same time.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And your little boy.
So it's worth all the struggle. It's worth all the
It's worth it in doses. In doses.
Right.
I mean, especially when you're traveling the way that we do, you know, we have to pack and go, where you're traveling in your home, so
Yeah.
I'm sure that works a little bit differently, but
Huge advantage for sure. Huge
yeah.
advantage. Yeah.
And I
Very
feel like I could pack a bus every time we go. We're getting ready to go away for the weekend to visit some family that live 3 hours away. And I feel like, I have enough stuff to pack a bus when we go. And I really, now I'm going to think about it a little harder because if you can travel on a bus with, a small wardrobe and I'm sure like not a full kitchen of dishes or like all these things, maybe I can do a little bit better too and
Yeah.
be a little bit braver not taking everything with me.
I heard once on a podcast by the Minimalists, it's these two guys that
Yes.
you
I
know who
know that
they
one.
are. Their rule,
Yeah.
it's so funny. They were traveling for a, they were going to speak at a conference or something, and they were both carrying these enormous bags of luggage with them, and they pulled them out of the car and looked at each other and realized we're the minimalists and we have all of this crap, because we're on the road. What the heck is this? So then they came up with this $20 and 20 minutes rule. If you can find it within 20 minutes and it's less than $20, you might not need to bring it. And then, and so we've kind of lived by that. Like ever since I heard it, that's kind of been our, like, when we do park the bus somewhere and then go take the car for a day, when I'm like packing up everything else, I'm like, okay, can I get this for less than $20 in 20 minutes? Can I go some? Yes, I can. Okay, I'm just gonna leave it, and then it kind of like rests your mind a little bit, because what's $20? It's nothing,
That
not that big.
is
It's a little bit of
great.
something, but not a big deal. Yeah, so that's a
That
good
is
little
really
rule to keep in
great.
mind when you're packing up.
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb. I think maybe I'm going to keep that in mind when I pack in the next couple days.
Yeah, do it. It'll rest your mind a little bit.
Yeah. We live in such a consumerist or like a materialistic society, and we feel like we need all these things. And I always find myself, we travel a lot on the weekends to visit family here and there, and I just find myself like packing all this stuff, and then we get there and I don't even use it, and I bring it home and it's still in
Yeah.
the same place it was in the bag, just sitting there, and I'm like,
Yep.
okay, now I have to unpack it and put it away.
Yeah.
And
Clothing
that
even
takes more than
sometimes.
20 minutes.
Yeah, right. That's so funny.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Thank you
Yeah.
for
I like it
sharing
too.
that.
You're welcome.
So can you tell us what, well, first of all, how can people find you online? I know that you're finishing up a blog site that's going to be up
Yeah.
when this podcast is
Airs.
published.
Yeah, you can
Can you
find
tell
me
me?
at writing, spelled WRITING, on mybus.com. And I'm building social media accounts for that as well at this. I just got a Twitter up and just switched an Instagram account over to that as well with the same exact handle, writing on my bus, spelled WRITING. I'm so
That's
funny.
cute.
Thanks. Yeah, and the blog is about a lot of the things that actually we're talking about here. I recently was getting some blog posts up about the work at home options. I'm so passionate about that because it's changed my life so much. I can't imagine missing out on, like, it breaks my heart every time I see a mom post, a photo that she got from the sitter or the daycare of their kid doing this new cool thing, and they're like, "Oh, my kid did this new cool thing today." And like, while meanwhile you were at work, missing it, and at least you got a photo. That's great, but
Yeah.
it like that you missed out on it. And I know that has to break your heart a little bit because it would mine. So I'm so passionate about spreading
Yeah.
as much knowledge that I've learned about, remote jobs and working from home. So there's posts up already, on the site as soon as it goes live about that, with more information on work from home jobs that I've found, tried out, learned about. And
Awesome.
also how to travel on a budget, especially with an art, got some good information on that. And then, just general parenting, natural mommy stuff is other things that I'll be talking about on there. So check it
Great. And
out as
you,
soon as you can.
yes, I can't wait to see it. And you are
Thanks.
also a member of our Thrive Tribe 419 discussion group.
I sure am.
So if people have questions, I'm guessing you can discuss with them on there as well.
Absolutely.
And if anyone wants to join that group, you just go to our Facebook page, Thrive Tribe 419, and I have that link right at the top, pinned to the top of that page, so you can click on that. And I just have to approve you for membership because it's a closed group, and we want to just make sure that it's a safe place for everybody to discuss. But that is also a good place to talk to Renee and some of the other people that have been guests on this podcast as well. Renee, if someone is thinking about doing what you have done, just selling everything, grabbing a bus and leaving, what would your advice be to them?
My advice would be stay open-minded and hang on, because the first few weeks, months, are very difficult, but they inevitably, all of your struggle inevitably in the end will certainly be worth it.
Awesome.
So hang on.
And, and last but not least, what helps you thrive in the 419? Or anywhere else for that matter.
Yeah, specifically thriving in the 419. I know you and I talked about this just briefly the last time we talked on the phone. The whole working from home or working remotely thing, it's really nice to be able to work for other people who work in places or who live in places where the standard wages are a lot higher than they are here in the Midwest. So when you work remotely, for example, two of my biggest clients, one is in New York City and the other is in California. She was in Palo Alto and she just moved to San Francisco. Those places all have minimum wages and standard wages that are way higher than they are here. So they don't even bat an eye when I ask for $15, $20, even sometimes more an hour. So that I think is a huge advantage because you have a higher earning potential with a lower cost of living, which is the great thing about the Midwest, about Northwest Ohio. We have a low cost of living here. Food is cheap here. Water is cheap. Rent in general is cheap here compared to the rest of the country. So that's a big deal, I think, is in terms of thriving in the 419 for me.
Yeah, I totally agree. My biggest paying clients have lived in California. And like you said, they did not bat an eye. They actually thought that my rates were pretty good.
So, yeah, they're like excited to pay you that, right? They're like, oh, right. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Right. Whereas people in Ohio are like, ooh, I'll have to see if you're in my budget, you know, and I have a master's degree, so I have to charge what I'm worth. But I've definitely found the same thing, and it's awesome. It's awesome when you find that client that is like just super excited to pay you to work for them. And it kind of, as a freelancer too, it kind of feels, I think it feels kind of good to be valued for what you do.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Earning what you're worth, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you so much. I have had such a good time listening to your story. I was, like I said, I was just so excited about this interview. I think I looked forward to this interview more than any of the others I've done so far, because your story is so unique. And I'm just, I'm really grateful that you reached out to me about this, because, you know, I've kind of known a little bit about what you were doing, but when you mentioned it to me, I thought, yeah, we need to do this, because we talk about alternative lifestyle being one of the topics that we want to cover on this podcast. And we really hadn't done it yet at this point. So not only did you do that, but you helped me figure out how to use Uber Conference. So I'm so grateful to you for your reaching out and taking the time to do this and helping me with some technical things. And, all of that. So thanks again for being here. And maybe you can give us a little shout out maybe in a year or so and let us know where you are, where you've been. Tell us, update us on your traveling and all of that.
Absolutely. I would love that. We should totally reconnect and talk about, because I'm sure I'll just learn more things, you know? I'm sure I'll just learn more that I can share. So, absolutely.
And you'll have more tips for people like me who are like really wanting to do it, but not sure yet.
Yeah, it's a big decision. It's a big decision for sure.
If we weren't depending on my husband's income, and well, he's under contract right now. I think he's got about maybe a year left where he is right now. So we've been talking about what we're gonna do kind of beyond that. And this has always sort of been in the back of my mind, but now that I know somebody who's done it, it makes it a little bit more seem like it could really happen.
Yeah,
So
and
maybe
doing
even
it
on
young,
just a part-time basis.
right. Yeah, that we see a lot of retired people who live this kind of lifestyle. You know, like I've met lots of snowbird, you know, retirees who live full time in RVs. But it's a little bit more rare to see families our age, you know, who are sort of young adults with young kids doing it. And yes, it is absolutely possible. It's absolutely possible.
Well, I always say, why leave the good stuff for hospice when you can do it when you're feeling good? So,
When you've
same
got strength
concept,
and
right?
energy, and yeah, absolutely.
When my eyes and my ears and my body still works, you know, maybe we
Exactly.
need to jump off that diving board. So thank you so much for the inspiration again. Thanks for being here. I had a wonderful time talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really my pleasure.
All right, take care. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. If you'd like to join the conversation or see pictures and videos, check us out on Facebook and Instagram under Thrive Tribe 419. You can find show notes from today's episode or listen to more episodes at tt419.buzzsprout.com or on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. If you enjoyed this podcast, it would mean a lot to me if you left a review wherever you listen to the show. Leaving reviews helps others find us and lets them know that we're the real deal. And it lets me know that you've been enjoying the show and that I'm not just sitting here talking to myself. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day and keep thriving.